And now for reading and writing and radio.
How much money would make you happy? $1 million could make your whole day.
Those sentences seen on billboards around the state were composed by writers employed by the Illinois State Lottery. But you can write and dream about $1 million, too.
WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University presents Reading and Writing and Radio, a program about creative writing. Your host is Jacqueline Jackson, children's author and professor of literature at Sangamon State University.
Once upon a time, a king was so greedy for riches that he wished that everything he touched would turn to gold. He got his wish, and everything he touched did turn to gold, including the food he was trying to swallow and his little daughter, who came running to fling her arms around him. And once upon a time, there was a different king who went to the wise man of the mountain in order to find out how to be happy. The wise man said, "Find the happiest man in the world and buy the shirt off his back." So the king sent out many messengers to search out that happiest man, and they carried bags of gold in order to buy the shirt from his back. And when they finally found the happiest man, he turned out to be a poor man working barebacked in the fields. He didn't even own a shirt that he could sell to the king. These fairy tales that I heard when I was a kid, and you probably did too, are about money and happiness. They're both saying the same thing in slightly different ways. Money can't buy happiness. Happiness doesn't depend on money. The Illinois State Lottery is a fairy tale, too, and its ads are saying just the opposite of the old fairy tales. How much money would make you happy doesn't spell out the answer for you, but it implies, that means it suggests, it seems to say, without quite saying it, that your answer will not be, "Oh, just a couple of nickels to rub together in my pocket will make me happy, sir." But rather, "Well, the more money, the better. $100, $1,000, $10,000, $100,000, money, 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 rolling in money, dollars, bills as thick as trees, leaves on the trees. Oh, what bliss." For after all, the next billboard says, $1 million could make your whole day. The lottery, however, is a fairy tale where every week some Cinderella or Cinder Lad, somewhere, even in Springfield, one who paid a buck for a ticket, of course, or a great many bucks for a great many tickets, gets touched by the magic wand and abracadabra, gets not $1 million, but $4 million, provided he or she doesn't have to share it with another winner. But the way it works really isn't magic. Those megabucks didn't materialize out of the thin air with a snap of a wizard's fingers. Those megabucks came from mega people who didn't get rich quick last week or this week either, but who will buy tickets next week and the week and week after week in the future, hoping that they will be the lucky one. Somebody has to be, after all, even though the odds are millions to one. Let's go back. Not to King Midas, who was really rather silly. He didn't know anything about wishes, did he? Wishes are very literal, you know, and I know. And so he needed to hedge his wish to qualify it. What could he have said? "I wish that every page I touch in a book will be gold." There, that's pretty safe, isn't it? That would have given him lots of money, although he'd have lost Peter Rabbit and millions of cats. Or better, he could have said, "I wish every autumn leaf I touch will turn to real gold." And then he could rake in enough just in October to take care of his national debt for the year and have enough left over for a 12-inch pizza with the works every night while he read Millions of Cats to his little daughter. No, let's leave old Midas out and go for that laborer in the fields. He didn't have enough money to buy a shirt, is the idea, yet he was the happiest man in the world. Something's fishy there, too, isn't it? It must have been summer, when the sleet and the snow and the icy breath of the north wind hits that bear back. He's not going to be happy. He'll say through chattering teeth, Oh, for a few mini bucks to buy a down jacket and a pair of warm boots and a nice hot cup of coffee. And his little daughter will not be happy either, because she needs a soccer uniform for school. Because this isn't fairyland, and there are very few places in the world anymore where you can live without money and still be happy. If you are so poor that you are always hungry, that you haven't a place to live, and there are more and more families, children in families, who are just living out on the streets, who haven't homes, right here in this rich country, if you're so poor that you haven't warm clothes to wear and shoes when it's cold, when you haven't money for a doctor and for medicine when you're sick, or when you're old, a place to stay where your needs are taken care of, then you are not going to be happy. Maybe money doesn't equal happiness, but the reverse has no maybes about it. No money certainly equals no happiness. You can't be happy when you're cold and starving and have appendicitis. The land of poverty isn't filled with happy people, and they're not going to live very long either. Mozart wouldn't have died in his early 30s if he'd had enough money. So there has to be a bottom line. You have to have enough to live, and in winter that means a shirt. Maybe here I could say a few words about money itself. What a peculiar thing it is. A piece of paper that we give, and in return we get beans or bacon or a transam. A very, very long time ago, there wasn't such a thing as money. People lived in small groups, sheltered in caves, got their food and clothing from wild animals and gathering edible plants. Those that couldn't hunt or forage, the very old, the very young, nursing mothers, these were part of the tribe and were provided for by the others. Money wasn't necessary. Nobody needed a VCR. We figure the next step toward money, or the first step toward money, was exchanging things, trading. You give us what you have that we want, and we'll give you what we have that you want. But trading or bartering has its problems. A teacher I had in ninth grade demonstrated that by giving us a barter day, and the problems quickly became very evident. What if everybody wants what you have, but nobody has anything that you really want, or the other way around? Or what if the values are wide apart? You have an elephant hide to barter, but everybody else just has mouse skins. Bartering, of course, is still a way of doing without money in some parts of the world, and you remember that it wasn't very long ago in the United States that Pa, in the Laura Ingalls Wilder books, would go 40 miles to town twice a year and trade furs for the flour and sugar and coffee and calico and a new axe and bullets that he needed for his rifle. Even today, people trade things. But trading for every single thing that you need is very clumsy. People needed something else, something to stand in the middle, something of value, something easy to carry and durable that can be of different worths, and also something that everybody will agree is going to be money. A foozle, for instance. If you sell a deer hide for 10 foozles, then you can go somewhere else and buy a basket of apples for 5 foozles and take the other 5 home and save them for a later date. Or give 1 foozle to your kid so that he can take the bus and go hear the drum concert at the next tribe. So money developed. We're not sure when. Whether called foozles, or nickels, or pounds, or francs, or yens, or pieces of 8, or wampum. And then we developed paper money, so that we can carry around a piece of engraved green paper with Washington's head on it, which in itself is actually worth practically nothing, but which has behind it, too heavy to carry in large amounts, gold or silver or something else precious, something of value backing up our paper money. I won't here go into plastic money, our credit card economy, and of course this is all a great simplification of a very complicated topic. But let's go back to our question, the billboard question. How much money would make you happy? Let's think about lots of money. Some people have lots. Movie stars, baseball players, the jet set. Yet are they all noted for being deliriously happy? Poor kids die of drug overdoses, too. People who study such things, sociologists and such, have kept track of big jackpot winners, not just Illinois winners, and have found that years later, while some are still rich and seem reasonably content, many more of them have spent up all their money, they have nothing left to show for it, and they are far less happy than they were before. Others who've managed to hang on to the money have not found happiness because they're too burdened with taking care of all that money. You've probably heard stories about how as soon as you win a lot of money, everybody starts pushing and shoving to sell you something or to get in on your good fortune. If you were suddenly given 10,000 beef cows, it would disrupt your life to take care of them, even if all you did was to hire the cowboys and buy the pasture land. It might be a disruption you'd welcome, but it'd change your life. A whole lot of money is like a whole lot of cows. It will change your life. You'd immediately have to hire lawyers and investment brokers and change your phone number to an unlisted one and wonder if your uncle really loves you or if he would just like a little bit of the moolah. You read about the winners who plan to keep on working in the factory or in the office or in the schoolroom to go on just like they were before. I wish them luck. Last year, you may remember, there was a boy, a high school boy, who had, or he thought he had, the final ticket to a big sweepstakes. He destroyed it, saying that he thought, when he thought it over, he decided that he didn't want a life where a large sum of money appeared in his mailbox every month. He didn't want the kind of life that was smoothed and made easy by not having to work for anything. One thing that I've really noticed about these jackpot winners is that so few of them say that they're going to use their money to help anybody else. When they do, it makes a great big headline. And I keep waiting for a winner to say, "Now I can go to school, and I can get the education I've missed. I can take all those wonderful literature and history and science classes, and I can take violin lessons." Money, you know, is really a very good thing. So much good can be done with it. There's a foundation in this country called the MacArthur Foundation that gives money to people who are doing a great job without much money and who could do an even greater job if they had some money. I think that must be a happy employment, to be a trustee of the MacArthur Foundation, to prowl around and to find worthy people and to surprise them with a sum of money. Nothing as big as the lottery millions, but $10,000 would make my day. Well, none of us have the dollars of a MacArthur Foundation or a Ford Foundation or a Rockefeller. But if we have enough money to give some away, it is a wonderful feeling. Generosity of money and also of other things is often happiness. Today, I'd like you to start your writing by making two lists. One list you can head "Money Can Buy," and the other "Money Can't Buy." And see if you can get four or five things under each heading. Think about these lists a little, maybe make a combined one on the blackboard. And then write something about money. Any experience you've had with money and happiness, for instance. It could be a story of when you've not had enough. Perhaps you were happy anyway, and perhaps not. You could write on the billboard question, how much money would make you happy? I asked my father that. He's 85 years old, and he answered very promptly, "I want to buy what I want when I want it and pay cash." That's a short and snappy answer. I'd like just a little bit more from you. Your answer, your writing could be, what would you do if the good fairy said, "Here's a sum of money that you must spend on yourself, dear child, I insist." But I think an even more interesting story would be if the good fairy said, "Here's a sum of money you must first spend on others, my dear, and that will earn you the right to spend the same amount on yourself." And then you could tell us of both ways that you would spend it. And now, to keep you in the mood, listen once again to the $5 worth of nickels that I brought for the opening sound effects, and then write about money and happiness.
WSSR Radio has presented Reading and Writing and Radio. Send your writings to Jacqueline Jackson, Sangamon State University, Springfield, Illinois, 62708.